This is it, this is it. In the 1970s and 80s, the TV show One Day at a Time pushed boundaries. It was about a divorced mother raising two teenage daughters in Indianapolis. Netflix has now rebooted the show, and this 21st century version pushes boundaries in its own way. So up on your feet, somewhere that music plays. As you might guess from the Gloria Estefan cover of the theme song, the family is now Cuban. They live in Los Angeles, and the mother, Penelope, is a veteran who served in Afghanistan. She's still raising two kids without their father. And even though the show is set in the now, it still has a very 70s sitcom sensibility. It's mostly filmed on one set and in front of a live studio audience, just the way legendary TV producer Norman Lear intended. He is the executive producer on this reboot, as well as the original. And as Justina Machado, who plays Penelope, told me, the Lear stamp goes beyond how the show looks.
I always loved that about his shows. They had so much heart, and they had so much humor, and they dealt with things that were important. So it was easy. It was good. It was great to get into that kind of classic Norman Lear storytelling.
And how dared you keep a secret from me?
Lydia, take it easy. You have a history of stroke.
You had a stroke?
I kept it a secret from you.
You kept it a secret from me?
It was nothing. You were pregnant with Elena. I didn't want to bother you.
This was 15 years ago. I can't believe you.
I have a hammer toe that needs to be shaved.
Okay, so the show was created by Norman Lear, who is 94. Yeah. And it also, as long as we are talking about elder statespeople of Hollywood, your co-star Rita Moreno is 85. It is safe to say she's one of the greatest living performers. Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony, Presidential Medal of Freedom. I could go on. What did you learn from working with somebody who has been at this decades and decades longer than you have?
My God, endurance, her incredible artistry. She is still playing. She's still discovering. She's an incredible partner. She's never bored. She's so smart. She's always involved. She's in it 150%. That's why she's still around. That's why she's so fabulous. The woman has a six-pack. You know that, right?
What?
Oh, my
God. You're talking about her abs?
I'm talking about her abs,
I mean, I know she's a great dancer, but she is also 85.
She's 85 and looks amazing. I have never been in her kind of shape my whole life. And she is just, she defies everything.
The family in this show is not just Latino, but Cuban. Like,
yes.
Capital C Cuban.
Right. Yes.
Your family is Puerto Rican, I think. Is that right?
It is. Yes, my family's Puerto Rican.
So is Rita Moreno.
So is Rita.
What did you do to learn about the Cuban stuff?
Well, our showrunner, one of the showrunners, she's Cuban, Gloria Calderon. A lot of this is based on her family and Mike Royce's family. And I also happen to date a Cuban for many years.
Well, that's convenient.
Yeah. It's very convenient. So it wasn't as difficult. And Gloria had her eye on that. I mean, she was the authentic police. Little things like this, the specificity of how Latinos will store sometimes leftovers in butter things.
Butter? You mean like a country crock Tupperware type container?
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Like, we'll use everything. We'll use everything and anything. And so that was something that she was very stern about. She was like, no, we need that. Just little specific.
Like, none of this fancy Tupperware. You got to get an old country crock butter tub.
That's right. That's exactly right. Let's have that cafetera right there on top of the stove, because
the little coffee maker, yeah.
There you go. The little coffee maker. So things, I know I'm getting bilingual on you. Things like that is what she was really hardcore about.
So you want to crush my heart into pieces? After I worked so hard to give you an opportunity in this land of the free and home of the brave.
That's not me, that's her.
You make me sound like I have an accent.
In a way, it feels like your character Penelope is sort of a bridge between her mother's generation and her daughter's generation, kind of between traditional values and feminism, straddling that.
Absolutely. I think it's because how a person of my generation actually feels. One of the things that when the sexism episode came about, it was important for us to show the levels of, you know, my daughter being this millennial and, you know, black and white, that's how it is. And me kind of being like, well, I've dealt with it. It's not that bad. It depends. And my mother just being in another world. And I think that's super representative of how it is with certain generations.
Mom, I'm not talking about old people sexism. Okay. It's much more subtle now. Men assert their power through microaggressions and mansplaining.
Oh, mansplaining. Is that like manscaping?
I just learned that and I love it.
No, mansplaining is
when a man explains something to a woman that she already knows, but he acts like he's teaching her. Does that make sense?
What happens episode after episode, though, whether the issue is women being paid less than men or immigration, is that while your mother's character may have attitudes that are outdated, they're not just dismissed or mocked or treated as totally unworthy.
Exactly. What we do on the show is we talk to each other. There's a lot of compassion. There's a lot of listening. There's a lot of learning from each other. And that's what I love the most about this show. In I think Norman said it either in his documentary or in his book, people don't want to be around people who disagree with them anymore. They don't want to have those conversations. They don't want to be uncomfortable. We're not going to get anywhere insulting. We're just not going to get anywhere that way.
The big story arc of the first season is whether your teenage daughter will have a quinceañera, the big party celebrating her 15th birthday. Did you have one when you were a teenager?
I sure did.
Okay, tell me about it.
Well, mine was, oh my God, my mother did not want to give it to me.
Why not?
Because it's expensive and
okay.
We didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so I went to every family member and I asked them to buy stuff for me. The cake, the invites, my cousin made my dress.
Oh, so it was really important to you to have one.
Yes, but
why?
I didn't, because it was a party and I get to dress in a white dress. I had no idea what the heck it was about. I didn't even know there was a church ceremony to it. I was like, oh, I have to go to church? I had no idea. To me, it was like this big party where you get to dress up and look like a child bride.
Did you have flashbacks as you were filming the season and this was like the focus of the debate in the family?
Oh, yeah, because I was the one that, because it's so funny because I really wanted a quinceañera. And then when I had one, I was like, man, this is so lame. It was so, because everybody had fun except me because I was constantly taking pictures with family members.
Okay, Justina Machado, I'm going to ask you the most difficult question of this interview.
Okay.
Will you share your quinceañera photos with us and let us put them on the NPR website?
Of course.
Really?
Of course.
That's great.
Are you kidding me? They're tragic and it's hilarious.
All right. Well, Justina Machado, it's just been great talking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Justina Machado stars in the Netflix reboot of the sitcom One Day at a Time. And yes, she did send us her quinceañera photo. It is just as awesome as you would think. And you can see it for yourself at npr.org.